The following is a seminar entitled Present Day Paramahamsa, Session 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on January 12, 2013, in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhajijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shivishagan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyanjade Shatarine.
So, we've discussed how important it is to actually become Krishna conscious, to become. And Krishna consciousness means ultimately to become Paramahamsa. In other words, becoming Krishna conscious means, well, becoming fully Krishna conscious. That's Paramahamsa. To become fully Krishna conscious. Just like you're going to eat a meal, you're going to just take, you eat a full meal, isn't it? It's time for lunch, but you take just one bite or you take a full meal. You see? Like lunch is coming up very soon. Will you take a full meal or just take a little bite? So Paramahamsa means full meal. You fully embrace Krishna consciousness. That is called Paramahamsa. So there, I picked another nice verse from Bhagavatam. This verse is the second canto, chapter number 3, text number 23. Jivan chavo bhagavatan gridayanum yajatum rajo bilabheta yastu shirvishnu paja munajastha lasya shvasan chavo yastha no veda gandham. The person who is not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the ultimate Paramahamsa, Ki Jai. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offering by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service of the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Jad Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of a paramahamsa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows, Bhagavatam 5:12:12, Rahuganai tattapasana yati nachejaya nirvapanan grihadva jachandasa naiva jalagni suryair pinamahat pandarajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service or the Paramahamsa stage of life cannot be attained unless someone is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees, and once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. Conclusion is therefore that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. So what does this tell us? Many, many things. The first point is, Paramahamsa means one who is revive the natural attraction for the service of the Lord. Doesn't mean, now I'm a Paramahamsa, worship me. Bow down to me, I am Paramahamsa. That's called a cheater and a rascal. Paramahamsa means one who is, he's attracted to serving Krishna. And even more importantly, he's attracted to serving the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. So this is why guru is essential. Unless you have a desire to serve guru with all of your heart and soul, there's no way you have access to Paramahamsa consciousness. Prabhupada also states here, Lord Krishna is the property of his pure unconditional devotees. This is why the pure devotee is totally satisfied. In the material world, everyone's trying to get property. The more they can get money, the more they can get paraphernalia, they think that is their success, you see. But can they keep those things? Even the wealthiest man, at his time of death, he has to leave it all behind. He can't take anything with him, not even one penny he can take. He may have many college degrees, but he can't take his degrees with him either. You see? Everything is left behind. But one who can achieve Krishna, you see, that is never left behind. Prabhupada one time said, nothing to purchase except Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Let me say, purchase? Why does Prabhupada say purchase? But Rupa Goswami says purchase also. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi katopa labhyate tattalayang apimuya mekalam janmakoti sukritarina labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be achieved even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lifetimes. It can be achieved only by paying one price, you see, a purchase. And what is that price? Intense lalam, intense greed to obtain it. And then Rupa Goswami adds further, if it is available somewhere, it must be purchased without delay. So where is it purchased? This is what Prabhupada is saying here. Krishna is the property of his pure unconditional devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. So you want Krishna? You have to go to the pure devotee who possesses Krishna. And from him, if you have greed for Krishna, you see, not that I have greed for name and fame or greed for material enjoyment, that greed will not purchase Krishna. But you have greed, like Radharani says, Krishna, Trishna, you see. If you have that intense thirst or that greed for Krishna, you see, that is the key. That's how you'll get Krishna. That's how you'll get pure Krishna bhakti, Paramahamsa consciousness. Instead of praying, Krishna, give me this, give me that, you see. It's like that song. Give me a Cadillac, the brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You see? Now, I'm not really picking on the Hindus, but, you know. But the Christians do the same thing. When I was a kid, my mother trained me to be a good Christian. She said, now, little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas? I said, well, I'd like a pair of cowboy boots, my dear mother. She said, well, then you should ask God every day. You should pray every day. My dear Lord, please bless me with a pair of cowboy boots. So I did them. And my mother, they wanted to teach me to believe in God, you see. So sure enough, on Christmas morning, what was under that tree but a brand new pair of cowboy boots made out of a slaughtered cow. And see, this is our training, you see. Prabhupada saved me from all this madness. But the Christians do it, the Muslims do it, the Hindus do it. The Buddhist, I met some Buddhists one time in Berkeley, California. They said, we have a mantra we'll give you. Renge Kyoho or something like that. They said, if you chant this mantra, you'll get whatever you want. You want a new car, you'll get a new car. I mean, they call this religion. This is nonsense. This is a bunch of nonsense. Religion doesn't mean that you get things from God. Religion means you give your life to God. That is religion. You see, the priests, the rabbis, even the gurus, and they're not giving the proper information now. How many bona fide spiritual masters are actually teaching pure bhakti now? They teach you, you will become God. This is another rascalism, you see. The gurus, they teach, you give me dakshina, so much dakshina, I will give you mantra and you become God. You see. It's like, you know, he tried to make it in school, he flunked out of school. I'll start a rock band, you know, make it in music, but they couldn't stand his music, nobody would hire him. And then he said, I'm going to try to make it in this field and that field. I'll try to make it in politics, nobody had voted for him. He failed in every way, but then he found out that he'd become God by chanting a mantra. Now I finally made it. I became God, you see. So the gurus are teaching you become God. And the first Indian guru I heard, Swami Satchidananda, I was a Methodist student center at the University of Texas. He gave a talk. He said, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. That was the teaching he gave us, you see. We didn't know anything. We were Christians, you know. He came to a Christian center and he's telling us that we're all God, you see. So this will not bring you to become Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means you must become completely sold out servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. And this way you can actually become, you can possess Krishna. Krishna will become your personal property. When you possess Krishna, you cannot be lacking in anything because Krishna, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the absolute owner of everything. Isn't it? Krishna declares that. Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, text 29. He declares that I'm the owner of everything. So if you possess the owner of everything, you virtually own everything. So a devotee doesn't have to aspire after any material advancement. He simply possesses Krishna, and then the devotee is not lacking in anything. The confirmation is in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 22. Ananyashchintayanto mam yejana priyapasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachemam viham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada elaborated on this verse. He said, Krishna personally delivers to your door whatever you need. You may say, but I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Why am I lacking in so many things? Well, kindly note the condition given in the beginning of the shloka. For one who worships me with exclusive devotion. Now what does that mean, exclusive? That means Krishna is my only love, and that's it. All of my love, 100% of my love, it all goes to Krishna. There's nobody else who gets it, only Krishna gets it. It all goes to Krishna. What about how you can be a family man then? What about your wife and your kids? Well, the secret is, when you channel all of your love to Krishna, who is the ultimate source of everything, then you become the perfect lover of every living entity throughout the entire existence. When you water the Buddha, the tree, isn't it a fact that all the leaves and branches are nourished? Are you being abusive when you water to the leaves and branches, when you water the root? No. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. That's a thing. Therefore, one who becomes purely absorbed in Krishna bhakti, he's the best husband, she's the best wife, the best father, the best mother, the best daughter, the best son, the best brother, the best citizen, the best everything. One who actually devotes himself to Krishna. I'm not talking about a person who advertises himself as a devotee of Krishna but is still engaged in sense gratification. That's different. We're speaking of the Paramahamsa who is fully devoted to Krishna. that person is ideal in every respect. Just like Maharaj Prithu and Priyavrata also. Prabhupada describes both of these kings. They were Paramahamsas. They were not sannyasi. They were householders. He describes both of them in the Bhagavatam purports as being Paramahamsas. They took care of their citizens just like a father takes, affectionate father takes care of the children. You see. So a Paramahamsa, actually, he's full of love. Because he has perfect love of Krishna, therefore he manifests perfect love for every single living entity. And what is the manifestation of that perfect love? He connects every single living entity with Krishna in the way that he deals with them. He helps them to become Krishna conscious. You may say, but isn't feeding the poor more important? Well, if you feed a poor man, if you solved his problem for a few hours, but he'll become hungry again. You see? And even if you feed him well for his whole life, he will still get sick, he will still get old, he will still die. So the ultimate feeding of the poor is to feed them with Krishna consciousness. Of course, we give them prasadam also. But the real meaning of helping the poor people, and who is not actually poor? Even Brahmaji is poor. Anyone in this material world who is not a pure devotee of Krishna, they are poor. That means the whole world is in an impoverished state at the present moment. There are no Paramahamsas on this planet. Practically none. Only a few Prabhupada there and Prabhupada's followers, only there you will find Paramahamsas. So everyone is in a state of poverty without Krishna consciousness. So, if you want to relieve the poverty of the world, then distribute Krishna consciousness. That is the only way you can relieve the people of their misery. You can't just feed the poor and make them happy. Even the wealthy are not happy, you're well fed. Nobody is happy in this material world because everybody is being dragged through sickness, old age, and ultimately death. No one's happy here. So relieve them from their suffering. Give them Krishna consciousness. This is the pastime of the Paramahamsas. They have great compassion. They have the greatest compassion for all living entities. They cannot tolerate to see anyone who is not Krishna conscious. Not that, well, I want you to join my religion because so I'll feel better. More people join my organization, I'll feel better that I'm doing the right thing. No. Not in that mood. A mood of genuine compassion, of wanting to help this person become free of all of their anxieties. So we have some questions here. Any more questions, please write them down, send them forward. Please guide me how to do chanting with perfect devotion without missing a single day of 16 rounds chanting. Well, I'll give you a little. It's not a rule. It's just a little technique that's very effective to make sure you always chant 16 rounds without fail. Is just don't take any prasadam until you finish your rounds every day. You'll get those rounds done for sure. Just don't take even one bite of prasadam until your rounds are done. You get those rounds done early every day. It's not a rule. It's just a little guideline. You don't have to do this. I'm not saying you all have to do this, but I'm saying if someone's having difficulty getting their rounds done, this will definitely get their rounds done every day. Now, the first half of the question, how to do with perfect devotion. Well, what if I can't chant with perfect devotion? That means just forget it, I'll just give it up. Someone said, well, I can't chant. My chanting is offensive, so it's better I don't chant because it's so offensive. But you know what? You know what is the greatest offense against the holy name? Not chanting it at all. So any chanting you do, it is improvement. Even if your chanting is offensive, that your chanting is an improvement over not chanting. So go ahead and chant the best you can, and the beauty of the mantra is that the more you chant it, chanting is enchanting. Okay? So the more you chant, the more you become enchanted with the holy name, and to the extent that you're enchanted by the holy name, you'll become less and less enchanted by Srimati Maya Devi, or Durga Devi, as people worship her, Durga Devi. You become less enchanted by Durga Devi the more you chant Hare Krishna. Now we are totally enamored with Maya or Durga. We're totally enamored with Durga's allurements, Maya's allurements. But if you will chant every day, the more you vibrate Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gradually you'll fall in love with the name, just like that prostitute. You know that prostitute? She was sent to allure Haridas Thakur to make him fall down. The Muslims could not tolerate one of their own Muslim brothers had become a Hindu saint. They couldn't tolerate it. It was just unbearable for them. The Hindus are worshiping a Muslim who had become a Hindu saint, Haridas Thakur. They said, we got to make him fall down. This is too much. A Muslim became a saint amongst the Vaishnavas. We have to make him fall down. Let's send a prostitute in the dead of night out to his bhajan kutir, and we'll wait in the bushes outside so we can catch him in the act. Let's see. So Haridas Thakur, he was completely unfazed by this beautiful... Even she stripped herself naked, a young, beautiful girl naked, begging for sex pleasure, just pleading for sex pleasure. And he was very cool. He said, my dear young lady, you just wait here. Let me finish my japa first. I'll satisfy you. Just wait a few minutes. I'll get my round done, then I'll take... Don't worry, I'll satisfy you. Just be patiently wait here, okay? So he was chanting. Finally she fell asleep. He was chanting all night. She woke. Oh, I'm so sorry, my dear young lady. I didn't satisfy you. But you come tonight, I promise you. Tonight I will satisfy you. The second night, the same thing. Chanting all night. Again, oh, my dear young lady, I'm really sorry. I promised I would satisfy you. I didn't keep moving. But I guarantee you, if you come tonight, I will definitely satisfy you. So the third night, after three nights of hearing the chanting, even though she had come with an ill motive to seduce the great saint, the power of the holy name was so amazing. This woman, first of all, she was mocking the holy name. Yeah, what to do? You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. She was mocking him, but then she became purified by the name, and she had a complete awakening of Krishna consciousness. And she became a pure devotee. She became Paramahamsa, actually. She had shaved the Paramahamsa stage. She went from prostitute to Paramahamsa in three nights. I couldn't imagine. In three, just by associating with a Paramahamsa, in three nights she became a Paramahamsa. Or what's the feminine form? Paramahamsa. Or whatever the feminine form is. But she became a Paramahamsa in three nights. So that is the great power of associating with a Paramahamsa and chanting Hare Krishna in the association of a Paramahamsa. You just got to take full advantage of it. You see? How to make my mind... understand that Krishna is everything and everywhere and everybody. Well, the mind is, you know, our minds are actually rascals. The minds want to keep pulling us back to sense gratification. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has given a very, very nice program for the mind. He says every morning when you get up, you should beat the mind with shoes 100 times. And at night, 100 times with broomstick. Of course, literally how you can do that. It's, you have to, you it's not something literally you can, he's a figurative statement, because like, your mind is a subtle thing, you can't touch it with a shoe or a broom. So what does it literally mean? It means you have to subdue the mind by your intelligence. The intelligence is the higher level. Intelligence is by hearing the Vedic wisdom from the scriptures, from the bona fide spiritual master, you gain intelligence. So the intelligence is like the mother, the mind is like the child. You have to train the child, don't do this, in this way. You have to train the mind. But I'll give you an insider secret in this connection. Because in the Bhagavad Gita it says, yato yato nishchalate manas chanchalamashtaram. This is in chapter 6. From wherever the mind wanders, bring it back, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, bring it back under the control of the self. There's a higher level, for the yogis especially, but for the bhaktas actually there's a higher level program, and that's described by Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandamani viteng vitinate tundavali lam diye. Karna krodha kadamani gatayate kunar viday braspeham. Cheta prangana sangani sarvendriya divai. Let's see, cheta, let me try again. Cheta prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim. No jani janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varnadvai. This is the ultimate formula for conquering the mind given by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, Krishna is dancing on my tongue and there is so much nectar oozing from his lotus feet that my one little tongue can't capture hardly any of that nectar, therefore I need to have millions of tongues to capture that nectar. And when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, there's so much unbelievable oceans of nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I am stunned, paralyzed in a state of transcendental wonder. So, this is the bhaktas. They don't worry about controlling their mind. They're too greedy for the nectar of Krishna. Is it? So we have to become, it's back to Lal Yam again, that greed for the nectar of the name. You have to be hungry for the nectar of the name. That actually, I want only Krishna Nam, Krishna Nam, Krishna Nam, Krishna Nam, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything is there. All desires are fulfilled simply by absorbing in Krishna. Every desire I could possibly have, everything is totally satisfied, gratified, fulfilled, totally, completely, just by absorbing myself in Krishna. I see. One has to have that conviction. And then there's no problem controlling the mind. You're too busy trying to drink the nectar. You're too busy trying to soak up as much nectar as you possibly can. So controlling the mind is not even an issue anymore. You see. So just try to, that's why this daily japa is so important thing. Perfect this art of diving deep, deep, deep into the ocean of Krishna Nam. That is the secret of how to become Krishna conscious, Paramahams. And if you do that, then you will understand how Krishna is every, you will see Krishna everywhere. Ekopyasarvacharitam jagananda kotim kotish vishesh. Let's see. Yachchakterasti jagananda chayayaranta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text number 35. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in each and every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe. Scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So if one can actually dive deep into Nama, you see, then one will experience Krishna and everything, everything within Krishna, because Krishna is present in his fullness in every single atom, every single atom. And that's a Vedic atom. The modern day and scientific atom is different. It doesn't necessarily equate with the modern, what the scientists call the atom. They've gone deeper in what they call the atom, they've gone deeper within it. But the atom, the Vedic atom, is the ultimate smallest particle. You see? And Krishna is present in every one of those atoms. He's smaller than the smallest, and he's greater than the greatest. To stay and grow in Krishna consciousness day by day, what devotional service should we do? Well, everybody should chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Japa Mala and strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Everybody should read Prabhupada's books as much as possible and associate with devotees as much as possible and take whatever service is required here by our movement in the Toronto area. We have a center here. See what service needs to be done. On your own side, you should regularly read and chant and tell people about Krishna. And then see what you can do, what is needed to be done here by in our local organization. It is difficult to make kids chanting and other devotional service. Please help. Well, you should have... At a certain point, it's simple. You can't make kids do anything at a certain point. The point is you have to inspire them when they're young. That whenever you're chanting, you engage. A small child wants to do things with their parents. That's a thing. Their parents are the whole world for them. They like to be with their parents and do and to imitate. Just like a little girl, she wants to have a baby stove, you know, a toy stove to imitate the mother cooking on the big stove. The child likes to imitate the parents. So the key is, from the very beginning, you engage the children in doing devotional service along with you. Just like one of my disciples, he used to cut the vegetables for the Sunday feast. So he'd bring his little kid in, we give him a dull knife and some scrap vegetable scraps that are useless, and let him also do his so-called cutting the vegetables with a dull knife. And so a little child is, the father is cutting the vegetables, a little baby is cutting the vegetables, you see, on the toy vegetables, so to speak. And this way, you chant and have the kids, not that, I've seen parents come forward, they bring the child forward to me and they'll say, okay, offer your obeisances to the spiritual master. They tell the child, they don't do it, they tell the child to do it. That's not the way. You do it, engage your child in doing it with you. Not that you tell the child to do it, but you're not doing it. You see what I'm saying? It's like the whole hypocrisy. Whatever you do, don't smoke cigarettes, my boy. It's not bad for your health. Yeah. You know? You chant. You have to be enchanted by the chanting. And they'll automatically become enchanted along with you. You have to be enchanted by the chanting. At a certain point, it's too late. But you get them when they're young, little babies, they'll automatically do it because you're doing it. They want to do what the parents are doing. They want to be with the parents and do what the parents are doing. Therefore, you have to be Paramahamsas as far as possible. At every minute, for the sake of your kids. And they'll follow you. Yad yada tadite shreshtas tadevi tarojana. Bhagavad Gita 3:21. Sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanavartate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow us in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, everybody in the whole planet Earth and all throughout the whole universe will pursue him. Is it? So you be an ideal Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, and your children will automatically become enchanted by the chanting. But if you're just semi-Krishna conscious and you want your kids to become Paramahamsas, forget it. You're a hypocrite. You're not going to get anywhere properly training them unless you're an ideal Vaishnava. Okay? Next question. What should you do if you find activities such as preaching and book distribution not appealing to you, even though you know by helping others you advance more? Do it anyway. Just do it anyway and you'll get the taste. Prabhupada said, even if you don't feel the ecstasy, dance and you will feel the ecstasy. So if you don't want to preach and distribute books, do it anyway and the taste will come. You have to have, just like in the beginning, if somebody has jaundice and the doctor says, my dear patient, the cure for jaundice is sugar candy. You must take sugar candy, such amount of sugar candy every day. But doctor, it tastes so bitter. It's horrible taste now that I have jaundice. No, you have to take it. And by taking that sugar candy, the jaundice is gradually cured and the sugar regains its original flavor. So in the same way, actually, there's nothing more relishable to shanticha ramanticha. Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. There's nothing more relishable than talking about me, vibrating my glories. So just do it anyway. If you don't feel it, and the natural ecstasy will arise. Please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Prabhupada. After 50 years, one must withdraw from material activities, completely engage in devotional service. Is it possible to run family then? Well, it depends on your situation. What can I say? In the Vedic culture, the tradition, the system was, you would practice brahmacharya life up to the age of 25. And by withholding your semina, you have great sexual potencies, and when you can have sex life with your wife one time and produce a very sturdy young boy from one sex. And then by the 25 years later, you're 50 and he's 25 and he can take over the household duties and you're free to take sannyas. That's the Vedic culture. But, now it's, we have to adjust according to time, place, and circumstance. We might have been in such a situation that I have some young boys who can take over, take care of the household, and I'm free just to travel and preach all over the world. You may not be in that position. So I have to make the best use of a bad bargain, whatever position you're in. Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Prabhupada says, actually it's not necessary you have to give up the household life. It's not required. Just chant Hare Krishna. Whatever your position is, chant Hare Krishna. If you still have to keep working, well, chant Hare Krishna. I was fortunate. I was able to retire from I worked in corporate world for 3 years. Krishna blessed me with a retirement after 3 years. Somehow I was able to get out of the corporate rat race, I guess they call it. Yeah, the rat race, yeah. A 9-to-5 rat race. After 3 years, I was a brahmachari for 14 years. And then Krishna arranged a very nice marriage with a girl who was very stalwart Vaishnavi and preacher. And I said, this is a good opportunity for my Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. I said, this is a very good opportunity for preaching. And actually, recently, one of my sannyasi godbrothers, he said, when are you going to take sannyas? So I actually have one. When the GBCs thought it was proper that I should start initiating disciples, they said, since you're new at initiating disciples, it's a new service for you, we'd like you to take advice on your guru activities from this particular sannyasi. So they assigned me a sannyasi to take guidance from in my guru activities. So I asked him, when this, my GBC assigned sannyasi mentor, when this other sannyasi told me that I should take sannyasi, I asked my GBC assigned mentor what I should do. He knows me well. I'm traveling preaching. I reminded him, I'm traveling preaching all over the world with my wife. What should I do? He said, you're better than sannyas. So he advised me not to take sannyas, that I was better than sannyas. Because that was his kindness. But Krishna blessed me. I was very fortunate that I was able to take up this full-time traveling and preaching. Krishna is very kind to me. So, but it wasn't always easy. We went through great periods of difficulty also, my wife and I. We were, at one point, we were living in a van. We had no home even. We just living in a van and going to a campground every night. I mean, we went through some real austerities. I remember we had no place. Sometimes we had no home. We were homeless vagabonds, wandering vagabonds. So we've gone through our share of austerities. But so whatever austerities you may have to go through by arrangement, they're all for your purification. You have to see it that way. Krishna is putting every one of us in a position which is most advantageous for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. At every step throughout our entire lives, every one of us is in just that perfect position or situation according to our previous karma. The perfect situation, the perfect type of, whether it's a male body, a female body, a black body, a white body, what country, what income bracket, what health, state of health, what state of education, every little detailed aspect, Krishna is perfectly arranged in each and every one of us the most suitable position for our Krishna consciousness advancement.
Stand for the arati.
Oh, the time is up. Okay. So we have more questions. We'll save that for the next session. And we thank you very much. Session number 2 is now concluding. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.